Good morning, church family. I want to welcome you to the service. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Why don't you stand and greet your neighbor?
Thank you.
may be seated.
Honor unto thee. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that way. I want to greet you here in the name of Jesus this morning. It is good to see each of you here today. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and praise God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. This verse came to mind because if you are going through the reading plan with the church and reading through the Bible in a year, you have gone through in the last few weeks Chronicles, and before that Kings. And in Chronicles, we have been reading through where we see the temple being dedicated and God coming and living among men in a temple. And that amazement that God would come and dwell among his people. But yet, we even have a better story. God didn't come and dwell in a building somewhere in the Middle East. He came as a baby, lived as a man, died on a cross, rose again, conquering death, and is preparing a place for you and I in eternity. He lives in you. What an amazing reality. And I think often, I, myself, cheapen that. That's what's been such a good reminder of this awe of God in the temple, is this dark cloud that came and crashing thunder and lightning and all this stuff. But yet, I can often cheapen it in my own life. But he lives, that same God that lived then, lives in me, and he lives in you if you have surrendered your life to him. That's awesome. That's awesome. I invite the ushers to come forward at this time. This morning's offering is for the Rockham County Jail. Baker Rigg is there, and he is a chaplain, and we are excited to be a part of that ministry. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for the Rockham County Jail, and specifically Baker Rigg. I want to pray a blessing over him. Protect him, Lord. There's a lot of work to be done, and I'm sure it's tiring, and he hears a lot of stories, and I'm sure it's exhausting, Lord, but give him strength, give him passion. I pray that we would be generous, that we would see the value of that ministry. I thank you for those that are among us that have come out of the Rockingham County Jail and that ministry of Baker Rigg and Jason Wagner before him, Lord. We thank you for the transformation of lives, whether it's whether you work through the jail system or whether you work through the home or wherever people find Jesus. We thank you that you are at work and that you will not come back void in someone's life if we turn our eyes to you. We pray for Baker this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In your Mennonite hymnals, please turn to number 73. Again, number 73 in your red hymnals.
Thank you.
invite Philip to come forward at this time. This is always one of my favorite announcements or introductions to make, because it's one of my favorite people in all the world. This is my friend, been a close friend my whole life, grew up in this church, and excited to have him here, and he'll tell you about what he's about. He is working in another part of the world, and looking forward to hearing you bring the gospel and also hearing about your ministry there. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for Philip. I want to thank you for his life. I want to thank you for the work that you've done in him and Betsy's lives. I thank you for their family. I pray your anointing over their ministry, for the seeds that have been planted. And I just pray that you would bring a great fruit in this next season of ministry after this summer. I pray that this time at home would be one of joy, one of rejuvenation, one of recharging. That they would go back with zeal and feel us behind them and the wind of the Spirit at their back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Dayton Mennonite Church, it's always so good to be here with you. Real joy. You all have blessed me so much over the years and formed me. Thank you for being who I am and for getting to do this work along with you that I'm going to share this morning. Thank you for that. Betsy and my kids are not here with us today, so they have to be elsewhere, but they send their greetings. I'm also honored to have this morning my parents, James and Leanna Rhodes, are here, so greet them if you want to. My sister Candace and her husband Tom are here also with two of their children, Eliza and Silas. They would love to connect with you too if you're here. They have prayer cards. They're still involved in faithful ministry in Thailand, so in Bangkok. Also want to thank you for sharing. Let's see here. There we go. These nice people with our family. Do you guys know that you sent these out, people out in October to see us? Here they are with us. We had a really wonderful time. It was kind of trippy to be introducing some of my best friends in North America with my best friends in North Africa. So it was a really joyful time to have them there. It was too short. You guys got to come longer next time. But really wonderful time. Thanks for sharing them and for sending them with your blessing. And then I wanted to share this one, this next picture too, if it moves, there we go. This kind of shows you how long you've been with us. the first picture is of us just arriving almost 10 years ago. This fall, we'll have been there 10 years in Morocco. We had two little kids, barely walking. Soren was still scooting around on his bottom, barely even standing up. And Liam was a little baby. And then this picture here is, our kids are getting big. Like we've done almost 10 years together, partnering with you in Morocco. And it's been a real joy to do that. It's starting to feel, I was telling somebody right just before the service, that it's starting to feel more and more, even more like home. Like you just, you get invited into things, you start to feel like part of the culture, like part of the, of course you're there at this this crazy meeting where they're praying in Arabic and because you're there, because you're in the community, you were invited. So thank you so much for being with us all these years. We are delighted to get to do this with you. This morning, as I share with you, I thought I would do is share with you how I share with Muslims. So how I might share with somebody I meet on the street, maybe for the first time, or someone that's in my neighborhood. And so I have a question for you first. What if you could choose a name for yourself that defined who you are? You chose the name, not your parents. You did. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you're looking there, you're seeing people getting renamed all the time, right? In Genesis 17, Abram becomes Abraham. Jesus renamed Simon Peter in John 1. And Jesus gets to choose his own name. How about that? Before he came into the world, he was sending an angel to talk to Mary, he sent an angel to talk to Joseph, and you've got to call this guy Jesus. And so Jesus gets to choose his own name. That name means God saves. Right. Perfect name. Good job. So what about you? What name would you choose? The perfect name. When you go to a new country, sometimes if your name doesn't sound familiar to them, they'll have to give you another one, or they feel the need to do that. We don't really want to say Philip. We'll give you another name. This one, we'll give you this name. But when Betsy and I came, we kind of wanted to be really intentional about the names we chose, to choose ones that defined us. Betsy chose the name Noor, which means light from God. Noor, light from God. And I chose the name Al-Habib, which means beloved. Now, I didn't choose that name because I needed everybody to love me or, you know, like a needy kind of guy. I chose that name because that's how I already felt. I felt loved by God. And I was like, this defines who I am and what I can share. Like, I am a beloved one. So I want to challenge you at the beginning of this sermon to know your beloved this morning. It's a basic thing, but we need to be reminded over and over and receive our belovedness from God and act from that. I think that's a really important thing. So imagine your name was beloved, right? Imagine if somebody was like, hey, beloved, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you, beloved. How would you feel? That'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Hey. But that is who we are. And you could be Habib along with me. You could be, if you were a woman, your name might be Habiba, because that's also a name in their country. Habiba, beloved one. So God loves you. And that's really, really important for all the other things I'm going to say too, and how I'm going to share with people around me. So imagine I'm in my neighborhood and some guy's walking through the street and I reach out my hand. Hi, my name is Beloved. What's your name? Betsy meets someone and says, hi, my name is Light from God. Nice to meet you. Who are you? That's how I begin. And it gives me a chance right away to be like, this name defines me because God loves me so much. I could easily share the gospel right from there. You ever heard about Jesus? Do you know about him? Let me tell you about Jesus. He is good and he loves you. I want to read 1 John 4. 7 through 19. You can read with me if you want. You can open your Bibles. 1 John 4, 7 through 19. I'll be reading in NIV. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. John is showing us very clearly how we are to live out of our belovedness in God. Don't you see this here? The passage says several times that God is the initiator of love toward us, and that his love is what allows us to follow his lead by loving others with a self-sacrificing kind of love. And like he says, in this world we are like Jesus. That is a call. You guys ever feel, you ever heard that passage before? I felt like when I read this this morning, I was like, wait, does it really say that? Yeah, it does. In this world, we are like Jesus. That's an incredible call for all of us to be little Christians They'll be little Christ-like people. And this leads me to my second point. By the way, that was my son walking in a neighborhood with a neighbor who just invited him into his courtyard just to go see around. It was a beautiful little interaction. So my next point is that Jesus-centered faithfulness is fruitfulness. So soon after introducing myself, I'm beloved, how are you? We'll pretty quickly start talking about religion. Partly because then after I say my name is Habib, they're like, oh, that's a Muslim name. I'm like, okay. It's also a Christian name because I'm a follower of Jesus. And so we'll very quickly start talking about Jesus. And one of my main things when I share my faith is Jesus. I'm not super interested in talking about all these other arguments that Christians like to have or Muslims like to have. I like to just keep bringing it back to Jesus. Because for me, Jesus is the center of all that's true. You know, religion doesn't mean anything if Jesus is not the center. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He's also true joy. He's true hope, freedom, love, forgiveness. For me, it all has to come back to him. And if I can keep everything centered on Jesus in the way that I talk and in the way that I share, it's going to give me joy because Jesus gives me joy. And so that's one of my main things in sharing. A lot of different people have different giftings, but mine is to keep bringing it back to Jesus and the joy that he gives me. And the other thing connected with that is that, so these people here that you see, these are really good friends of ours. And but these pictures don't show you, oh, these are people who have all come to know Jesus. No, it's not. They haven't. Not yet. We hope they will. But what I see here is we're being faithful in our neighborhood, in our community. We're continuing to be like Jesus as much as we can be by his grace and to share. And we believe that kind of faithfulness to Jesus, to his way, to being faithful, is going to bring fruitfulness and is in itself fruitfulness. I recently heard it said that if you are full of the Holy Spirit, if you're living the Jesus way, you will be fruitful. You have to be. There's no other way than to be fruitful in Jesus because God does that work. He asks us to be faithful in the situation we're in, and he does the rest. He does the fruitfulness. And so we lead a team in North Africa of workers who are like-minded in that way. None of us are seeing huge, crazy things happen, but we're being faithful seed planters and believing fruitfulness is happening, and we may see it explode someday, or maybe not. God knows. We trust him with that. And as I was thinking about this idea, I was thinking there's not that much different between us and you. Not. We're being faithful. You're being faithful. You're serving in the ways God has called you to serve here in the Shenandoah Valley or wherever you're from this morning, in Bangkok. God, you are being faithful. You're cultivating your relationship with Jesus. You're blessing families around you. You're bringing up families of faith. And you are sharing with people as you can as well, in word and in deed. And so there's not a lot of difference between us. Yeah, we do it in Thai. We do it in Arabic. Tamazight sometimes. But how we do or who we are is the same. So to summarize so far, you've got your belovedness down, okay? You know you're loved. You're also being faithfully Jesus-centered, which you know will bring fruitfulness because that's what God does with faithful people. Now, what else? Jesus offers you rest. For my last point, I want you to imagine one more thing with me, okay? Imagine, one second, I'm gonna drink a little bit of water first. Imagine memorizing the New Testament. Okay? This is a New Testament. This is a very special one to me. This is in the language that most of my friends speak in our country. And this actual one is one we do a Bible study with our friend. He doesn't like to have it on his person, but I bring this whenever we do a Bible study together. So this is a very, very special one to me. But Imagine memorizing this whole thing. This is the whole New Testament, except in English. You can memorize it in English, okay? Okay, don't worry. This one's in Arabic. You can do the one in English. All right. So you're gonna do that. You decide one day that you're like, I'm gonna memorize this thing because that if I memorize this, I'll know God better. I'll have a closer relationship with Him. And you've heard, you're still imagining, okay? Still, you've heard that if you memorize this and then you go in front of a group of pastors that also has memorized this, they can test you and you can get certified and become like a certified memorizer of the New Testament. That would be cool. And then if you did that, you passed that test and they asked you to say whole chunks of the New Testament and you could just do it. You could just tell them whole chunks of the New Testament, get it perfectly, word for word. Then you would be called a memorizer, and your parents and family would be so proud of you, and you would have an epic understanding of what all is in this book, wouldn't you? Epic. Now, this is a true story of one of my friends in North Africa. We'll call him Farid. Of course, his story is about Islam and about the Quran. And the Quran is 10% shorter than this. We can take off. A little bit of that, make it a little easier. But still, it's an incredible feat of perseverance, wouldn't you say, to memorize the whole Quran. When he was a young man, Farid decided that he wanted to be a devout Muslim and memorize it. He had a medical condition, which meant he had to spend a lot of time in his home, and so he would just sit there and just do that, memorize. And eventually, he memorized the whole thing. He went in front of a group of imams, who were officially appointed for that task, and he passed, did huge chunks of the Quran, word for word, perfectly, and he was certified as a muhafid, a memorizer. Fast forward from that about 15 years, and my family is sitting in a little restaurant, and at the end of this meal, my son Soren jumps up, runs across the restaurant, sees a guy with a necklace, and grabs it. Okay. I'm quickly right behind him, helping the guy, you know, pry Soren's fingers off of his necklace and release him. And his friend there is Farid. Farid is standing right beside this guy, and we start talking. And Farid's like, "Hey, let's exchange numbers. Let's talk. I would enjoy meeting up with you sometime. We seem like an interesting person." We started doing that. We started meeting for coffee every once in a while. I would even bring Soren along sometimes to coffee with me and Soren and Farid. So we stayed in touch, and a few years after that, we moved out to this other town in Azru, this little town, we stay in touch. I changed the picture on my WhatsApp to show me playing a guitar with Soren, and he reaches out to me. He's like, "Hey, you play guitar? I'm doing an international children's festival in my city, and I would love it if you would come and be the American." Okay. He said, "Maybe wear a cowboy hat or something." I said, "We'll be doing that. I'll wear a plaid shirt, and we'll go from there." So it was a real joy. It was a crazy, chaotic kind of event. But I was there, and I played some songs, a Raffi Kid song. I played "I Ain't Gonna Study War No More." I sang a song I wrote called "Wonderful Creator," and the kids were dancing to it. It was a wonderful time. And after that night, Farid and I continued to stay in touch. And eventually, he came and visited us. We have a little guest house in our town, and we like to use as a ministry to just welcome people out of the cities to come and rest. It's a wonderful place to rest. And so he came. And during one visit, we were talking about Jesus and the New Testament, and we were reading it on my phone. And he says, "You know, the way you talk about your faith reminds me a lot of my father. My father was a devout Muslim, and there's the way you talk about your faith reminds me of him." It was clearly a compliment. And he said, "Can I have a physical copy of that you're reading on your phone?" He's kind of an old soul. Anybody else an old soul likes to read their Bible in a book rather than nobody else? No hands even? Okay, we got some. Okay. That's how fair he is. You have something in common with him. He said, "I want one of those to hold." And I was like, "Oh, okay." It just so happened that we didn't have any at the time. They're hard to get in our country. So a year later, I was traveling in France, and we met a guy there, and he had one. And I was like, "Hey, can I have that?" And he said, yes, I know. I was like, I know exactly who that's going to. And so a year later, I'm finally able to give Farid this book. And he immediately starts reading it. A few weeks later, he said, he sent me a message. He said, I finished reading your beautiful gift, the Holy Bible. the New Testament. 3 weeks ago, Farid came out to visit our family again. And he completely surprised me. A few minutes into our conversation, he said to me, I've been wanting to tell you something very important. I can't tell anyone else. What do you think he's going to say? He said, last Ramadan, I decided not to fast because I didn't think it was required of Muslims based on my understanding of the Quran. Whoa, okay. That wasn't all. He said, I realized Muslims do a lot of things that they think they're supposed to do, but they're not actually in the Quran. People have just told them they are. So I decided not to fast and to see how that went. But I still saw myself as a Muslim. This Ramadan, I decided not to fast Ramadan again. But afterwards, I realized I'm no longer a Muslim. I don't believe this stuff. Whoa. He said, I have come to believe that Islam is a man-made religion, not from God. I don't believe that Muhammad was a true prophet either, because he had to use violence to get people to follow his religion, and he had made it up. I still have a relationship with God, and I will pray to him, but I will not do the 5 prayer recitations anymore. I was stunned. Not because I don't believe these things he was saying. I believe them 100%. But I'd never heard a Muslim, or former Muslim, as he's calling himself, say these things in such a clear way, and like have such a transformation. But then, as I thought about it, I was like, but you know what? I've been walking with this guy for 9 years, and in some ways I've seen it coming too. 9 years later, he's arrived at this point. So I told him, I was like, man, I you know what I believe is true. You are welcome to come and join me in the way of Jesus. He won't force you to do things like Muhammad did. He only invites people to follow him, but welcome. You could join our family. And he said, I'll think about it. He said, right now, I said, how are you feeling just with this thing, these things you've said to me that you believe are true? And you know what he did? He leaned back in his chair and he said, Mahfad. No, Murtah. Murtah. He said, restful, peaceful. And so for now, that's where he is. That's where he is. And so what I want us to pray for Farid is for him to make that next step. Is to find that the rest of Jesus is good. That Jesus' yoke is easy. It's not the yoke of Muhammad. It's not the yoke of all the other religions in the world. It is the restful yoke of Jesus. He can rest in him. Not only that, but when things are hard, and they do come that are hard, he gives us his Holy Spirit to help us do those things. This is unheard of in Islam. You don't get that gift to help you in the hard things. And if Farid chooses Christianity, chooses the way of Jesus, it will lead to persecution. And so he will need the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's why he was saying, I can only tell you right now. He can't tell his friends, can't tell his family yet. And I don't know how this is for you all. I don't know how restful you all feel. I don't know if you're finding the yoke of Jesus easy right now, but I hope that you also can believe in the restful yoke of Jesus, that he is good enough, that he gives you rest. He wants that for you. He wants you to rest in your belovedness. So that's, yeah, I don't know if you need to hear that message today too, but I hope, like Farid, you can rest and really come in to the way of Jesus. Is so good. That's good news. I'm just going to read one more thing here and then finish off. I didn't put it on my notes, so I don't know how to do this here. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He's the one and only Son. For a Muslim to say that, it's crazy. They don't believe that Jesus is God's son. But when they do, when they can come to this, they can enter into all truth. They can enter into a full, beautiful way of life with us. Jesus, our good, faithful, and gentle shepherd, is calling all of us here today, as he's also inviting our Muslim friends to come and join his flock under his good care. We are seeing more and more people responding to that invitation in North Africa, not in our town necessarily, not yet, but even while the government is making it harder and harder for us workers to live there. But may Jesus' family of believers there grow, strengthen number, and have courage to then reach out to their Muslim friends and families with the good news too. Please pray with us. Amen.
Again, your red hymnals, number 95. Number 95.
Muslims are lost. But if you're here this morning and you are relying on anything that you're doing, or you are the center of your religion, you are just as lost as they are. You are just as in need of a savior. You're just as in need of a missionary as they are. Jesus is the center. Only his work, only the work that he did for you can bring you the rest that you're looking for. So if you're feeling tired spiritually this morning, if you're feeling like you're tired of running, look who's at the center of who your trust is in. There are a good many announcements this morning. I want to run through them quickly. and make note of a few. And then we have a special thing for the fathers as well. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Should have said that at the very beginning. So this coming Monday, there's a ladies' jail service. And let's be in prayer for Lois and Sarah as they go to the Lyon County Jail. This coming Wednesday as well is our church-wide prayer meeting. Encourage you to be here. It gives not only you an opportunity to pray corporately, which the Bible says there's power in, but it also gives the youth an opportunity to develop their gifting and leadership of teaching the children of our church. Next Sunday morning, during the Sunday school hour, Evan and Cambry Yoder will be here. They will be sharing during the Sunday school hour. He will not be preaching later on. So if you desire to hear about their ministry in England, which I encourage you to do, please make your way in here at 9 o'clock. 9. Wait, what time is it? 9, okay. Wow. Russ really messed me up when he started walking up this aisle. I'm like, okay, go ahead.
I just want to put this out for DMC Team 1 for softball. We have 2 makeup games, June 22nd and Sunday, June 22nd and Sunday, June 29th. Just keep that in your heads. Also, the jersey orders are finally in, so I don't know when they'll get here, but they are in. Thank you.
Thank you, Russell. There will be a baby dedication on June 29th. We've done a lot of those this year. If you desire to have your child dedicated, please let somebody on the leadership team know, and there will be a fellowship meal following that as well. Congratulations to Ethan and Grace as they had a baby of their daughter, Maple May, was born this past week. There are nomination ballots in your mailboxes. Your mailbox may have moved, but if you can't find your mailbox or don't have one of those nomination ballots, please let someone know and we will get you one in the back. There is Vacation Bible School, not this coming week, but the following. I want everybody to listen right here because this applies to a lot of people. So if you're zoning out through all these other announcements, this is probably for you. Every single person who is involved in child ministry, that is nursery, that is Sunday school, that is Bible school, that is teaching the children at the Wednesday evening prayer service, if there's anything you are involved with children, you are required by the church to watch a video, which I was skinnier and I had short hair back then, but you are required to watch that video. You are also required, if you have not, to fill out a form, application form, to the church. If you have questions about that, please let us know. You are required to watch that video every year. You aren't required to do the application process every year, but you're required to watch that video every year. And we do that around this time right at Bible school. Next Sunday, if you're involved in children's ministry, and we are going to be meeting downstairs where we'll have all the forms for you to sign. But one of the forms is, I have watched the video. So if you have questions about that, there's supposed to be a QR code in here with the a link to that. There is not this morning in the bulletin. But if you have questions, I'm sure that somebody can direct you toward that video. But it helps us stay on top of our liabilities, but also we want to create a safe, positive atmosphere for the children of our church and community, so it's an important facet. If you go to this church, if you're here right now this morning and you have kids coming to Bible school, or if you have people from the community you've invited, please scan this QR code in here and register the children before the week of Bible school, because it makes it so much easier to know how many kids are going to be in each class. If you have questions on any of that, talk to somebody and we will direct you. I did as well want to just welcome Tom and Candace here from Thailand. It's good to have you all here. May God continue your ministry there and bless it for as long as you all are there. You are not alone there. The prayers of the saints are behind you as you minister the gospel there. All right. That is all my announcements. I am going to move into a Father's Day thing, and then we will close with a prayer at the very end. So I wanted to read a passage here. I looked up in the Bible, where are father's passages? This is one that came up that I really liked. In Proverbs, you have a father writing to a son. So a lot of the passages in Proverbs are, my son, you know, listen to my word, my son, do this and that. But here is one in chapter 20, verse 7, that says this. The righteous man walks in his integrity. Blessed are his children after him. I think that if you're a father here, or even if you're not here and you're a father, you desire your children to be blessed. You desire your children to walk as good people of integrity. It seems pretty universal. Are you a man who leads your children with integrity through your actions, through your words, and through your deeds? There is a call for men in our culture. Whether you have biological children, or whether you're just an influence as a father figure in somebody's life, or maybe you're not impacting young people, you should. Be a father to someone. We need men in our culture to be men of God, to be men of integrity in our words, in our actions, in our deeds. So be someone to somebody because you are. Just know that you are. Every single person is an influence to someone. What influence are you? So we want to honor the fathers. We have a lot of socks. There's a smaller crowd here this morning. So I think we have around 200 pairs, which is enough. And we were going to have a funny pair in here somewhere, but Mike said he lost it. So that was a bummer. We were going to surprise someone with a really certain pair, but we couldn't find it. So, if you have a father figure, or you have a father, and he is here this morning, I invite you at this time to go ahead and come forward and get your father a pair of socks. And right after they start winding down, if you are going to go and see your father, if your father doesn't come here, just go ahead and start coming this way. If you are going to be seeing your father, and you would like to get a pair of socks for him, you can do that as well at this time. Then, in the future, we're going to have a shorts Sunday for everyone to show off the socks that they got. No, I'm just kidding. Received a pair of socks today, you are loved by someone, and wear them to show you value the person that gave it to you. All right, would you please stand with me as we close in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for this time we've had together. Father, I want to thank you that you are the example of a father to us. No matter how our earthly father relationship is, Lord, I pray that we would see you as the good father, the gentle father, the restful father that we can come to and that we can worship and adore. Thank you, God. Father, I want to pray for Philip and Betsy and their ministry once again. Would you empower them, strengthen them? I want to thank you for Tom and Candace and their lives. I pray for them and their ministry, their children. I pray that those relationships would grow, that there would be much fruit seen during this next season of ministry. Father, I want to thank you for Candace Glenn as she is in Cambodia. I want to thank you for her life and her passion for you. I pray that she would experience your love and grace during this time and that you would strengthen her as she's a newlywed. I pray that you'd work in that relationship and that would be a relationship that is a light to that community there. God, I pray for our Bible school. I pray that it wouldn't only just be about having fun, Lord, but that you would be exalted, that people would look back to the time of Bible school and they would say, my life was changed there. My formation of my spiritual life was formed there. Work with the teachers, Lord, give extra measures of grace and clarity, as there's lots of kids. And I just pray that this would be a good year of Bible school. Father, I pray a protection over this church. We come against any works of Satan that would desire to cause division, that would desire to bring perversion, that would desire to bring chaos within the individuals and within the body of Christ here this morning. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would be able to move with freedom among us, that sin would be confessed, that there would be a freedom here, and that we would touch our community, that people would know that they've experienced Jesus when they see us. Father, I pray for the jail and those women going there. I pray that you would cause women right now to sign up to come and that you would work and that lives would be changed and that there would be many baptisms to come in the near months because of the work and transformation that has happened through the faithfulness and ministry there. God, I want to pray for Fadid. You are softening his heart, and I pray that he wouldn't find rest until he finds you. He would be discontent with just not doing religion, but that he would desire to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the work that you've done. Thank you for the work and many of the people we heard about this morning. And we just ask that your spirit would flow into their lives and that they would have an unmistakable experience with the Spirit of God and proclaim Jesus as the Son of God and Lord of their life. God, as we go from here, I pray that we would be your people outside of these walls. You are King, you are worthy, and we surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.